Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has battled with body image issues and infertility. She's turned those battles into a book and a passion for helping women to learn to love themselves. And she and her husband are currently trying to adopt their third child. And Emily Waringa has turned to a variety of artistic expressions, music, painting, and writing to express the lessons she's learned through these challenges. Her latest work is the memoir Atlas Girl, Finding Home in the Last Place I Thought to Look, which was released this summer. Emily's on the phone with us tonight from her Barrhead, Alberta home to talk about her memoir. But first, let's listen to Refuge tonight from the Southern Alberta-based group Once by Fire's Goodbye Scarlet CD. Conversation with Emily Waringa. Good evening, Emily.
Good evening.
Now, you express yourself in a number of artistic disciplines. You write, you paint, you do music. Is there any one of those that you prefer to the other?
I think they each allow me to speak and express in such a different way that I use them. They kind of work together, kind of like the patches of a quilt, you know? So it's not like I can only do one and then I'm exhausted. I could write for a while and then paint, and they use just different facets of creativity.
Now, do you often find yourself expressing the same idea in all of those different disciplines?
I guess, yeah, the same emotions, probably. When I'm, playing music on my guitar, it's more of a worship, so... Yeah, it's not an effort so much. And when I'm painting, I'm, trying to convey hope, that there's just a very basic theme of hope. And when I'm writing, that's more of the, when I actually have to pour some effort into my creativity, and because words are very tricky, and you don't want to say something that's exactly the same as has already been said, and, you want to have some kind of art form with your words, so it takes a lot more effort with writing, but again, it's another way of just expressing the creativity within my heart.
And having a chance to glance through your latest work, Atlas Girl, I see how that follows through some of the ways that you describe things, and that is that visual element that's now down so people can actually envision what you're talking about. When did you sort of, which came first, the music, the painting, the writing, sort of how did you get into these various aspects of art?
I've always sought to express myself since I was a little child, because I didn't really feel like I had a voice growing up, and so creativity allowed me to have that voice. But took years of practicing to be able for it to come naturally, including writing. Like I practiced, you know, daily and sketching, you know, and eventually I fell into my own voice in each area. And again, I was taught piano growing up, but guitar allows me to just kind of express my own unique Emily voice.
And guitar is a little more transportable than a piano.
Yes, that's true.
When you're looking at those elements, who have been your influences? Like who have you looked to as a writer for inspiration or just taking a look at their writing and going, you know, I'd like to be able to write like that someday?
One of my favorite writers is Jeanette Walls, who wrote The Glass Castle. And I just really love that book because she wrote about her life in a way that wasn't, you know, sobbing, look at me, poor me, look at my horrible life. She wrote it in such a beautiful, simplistic, innocent way that the pain of her life, you know, spoke even more loudly. And so as a believer, I long to do that with the added element of hope and redemption that God can offer.
When you're looking at painting, has there been any artist out there that's kind of inspired you as a painter?
Picasso was always one of my favorites, even though, you know, he had quite an interesting lifestyle. But I loved how he would take a picture and, like, he would make it as detailed as possible and then gradually take away that detail, just leaving the bare elements. And that's what I try and do with my writing, actually, as well, and with my painting, just leaving enough to suggest it more.
Looking at that third element of discipline, the music and that, who have you been influenced? And I like how you mentioned in your book about the fact that you were listening to, as a teen, you were listening to sort of secular music, you know, artists that were outside of the church, and that. But who have you found has been an influence for you as a musician?
I've always been drawn to the angst and the honesty of secular artists. I long for it to find that within Christian music, and I think we're getting better at it. One of my favorite Christian artist is Steve Bell. I think that he does a wonderful job at honestly worshiping the Lord, and he's a very gifted guitarist. And I just I had my own band for a while with my sister, and we mimicked bands like Tegan and Sarah, and just indie bands that sing from their heart.
Looking at all that, having read some of your stuff and seen some of your art, and I haven't had a chance to listen to any of your music, but it sounds like you've always kind of approached it from outside of what people would consider the norm for a Christian or you know, traditional things. Is that something that just happened, or is that something that you sort of, that's a direction that you found yourself moving in and the direction that God's been guiding you to?
I think, the latter. Since I was a kid, I just longed for the church to be free, you know, of the pretense that I saw everywhere. You know, growing up as a pastor's kid, I just really felt the pressure of all these expectations we'd put on ourselves, expectations that I didn't see in the Bible. You know, I saw a loving Father that wanted us to delight in Him and celebrate His world, and I didn't sense that freedom in the church. And so I've always just tried to push the envelope, you know, and just to encourage us to be honest about what we're struggling with and grappling with so that we can truly need a Savior.
Well, looking at that, and I mean, you mentioned about, you know, in some of the secular music, there's that angst and honesty that's there. Looking at your books and your paintings, and those have always often come from a desire to share your own challenges and share the things that you've gone through. Sort of give us a little bit of a Reader's Digest version of you know, some of the things that you've gone through yourself. That has kind of informed where you go as a writer and a painter and musician.
Yeah, I've had, you know, an interesting life. I grew up, like I said, as a pastor's kid. Well, first of all, a missionary's kid, and we traveled to Africa and lived there for a couple of years when I was young. And I actually stopped speaking when I went there. I was 1.5, and I didn't start speaking again until we came back at 4. And it was just a really interesting time of just absorbing another culture, listening. But I also heard, you know, that my mom, you know, just being really sad, you know, that she was there, not enjoying her time there. My dad loving it. And it was just kind of the first glimpse of a life where my dad put ministry before family. And he admits that now. But it kind of just laced through the rest of my childhood, just constantly moving. We moved 10 times before I turned 7. I was homeschooled, didn't have a lot of friends, and just really felt the pressure of the church. And when I was 8, I made my first friend. She was, I called her Grandma Ermini. She was an older woman, and then all of a sudden she died. And so, you know, it's all these things. You realize you can't control anything. And even my diary was read by my parents. So it was just this feeling of helplessness. And so when I turned 9, I also turned anorexic and started to starve myself. It was just a way of having a voice within my own home. And by the age of 13, I was dying at 60 pounds, and my parents put me in the hospital. And when nurses said I was a miracle, I realized that I had a Heavenly Father who'd been there for me the whole time and was looking out for me and wanted more for me. He had a purpose for me.
Well, and I know that a lot of this is now part of your latest work, Atlas Girl, and what I want to do is take a quick break and then continue our conversation with Emily Waringa and talk about Atlas Girl. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
In God's praise forevermore. Life is like a mountain railway with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Heed the curves, the hills, the tunnels, and never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in God's praise forevermore.
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Life's Railway to Heaven from the Just As I Am CD by Alberta musician Paul Brandt. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Emily Waringa. Emily, your latest book, Atlas Girl, Finding Home in the Last Place I Thought to Look, that's a memoir that looks at that journey that you started telling us a little bit about. Why did you decide it was time to write a memoir?
I didn't. I actually had an editor from Baker Books approached my agent and asked if I wanted to write a travel memoir. But so that was a real gift. But it was something that I had started back when I came home to take care of my mom a few years ago. My mom had brain cancer, and I became her caregiver. And during that time, I started a small blog, and this was blogging about taking care of her. It was just my way of expressing myself through that time. And I saved those posts and really wanted to share my mom's story with the world one day, but kept sensing the Lord saying it wasn't done yet, you know, that he was still writing it. And so, yeah, when the editor approached my agent, I figured it was time.
Well, one of the things about memoirs is it's an opportunity for the writer to sort of bare their soul, so to speak, to other people in that. When you were, you know, pulling together your blog posts and putting everything together, what were some of the challenges that you faced in writing the book?
It's extremely hard to write memoir. Even if you're reconciled with your family, as I have been privileged to be, I have an incredible family, and we struggle a lot, you know, together just to communicate and to understand one another. But we love hanging out with one another. I think this writing this memoir was difficult because it pulled up memories from the past that we had kind of thought were done, you know, and we were forced again to go through a different layer of healing together. And it was just beautiful to watch my family help me launch this book. My dad asked to join them, and my brother wrote an amazing guest post on my blog about it. And so it was really an effort by all of us. And so the memoir itself was not an act of revenge or a way to get back at my family. And it was a collaborative effort.
Well, you talked about how challenging that was. I mean, there were some tough topics that you were looking at in there. I mean, you talk about your battle with anorexia. You talk about, we've already discussed it, sort of that whole, the expectations of the church. You talked about the things that you dealt with your family. When you were actually in the writing process of doing this, did you ever get to that point where you were sort of self-censoring and thinking, I can't write this because it's going to hurt too much, or did you just sort of work your way through that?
Good question. Yeah, I definitely got to that point a few times, and I think that's when the Holy Spirit takes over, you know, because you realize that it's beyond your ability to understand some things that have happened to you, or to put a message down that will inspire people from your own life. And that's really where prayer comes in. And I credit any power of my memoir to the Holy Spirit, because I know that it was Him writing it through me.
And I know part of that too is when people have been writing memoirs, there's always been the challenge of memory, and what you remember and how you remember a situation might be different from how somebody else did. How did you sort of work through those things where you were writing something and you're going, maybe there was another part to this? You know, sort of how did that whole process go for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're anorexic, your brain gets starved too. So I often questioned, even as I was writing it, I was thinking, you know, I wonder what that situation actually looked like. You know, if I had been thinking clearly, what would it have looked like? But part of the reason I wrote this memoir is to give a glimpse into the eyes of a person who is starving, you know, either starving from food or starving for love, you know. And so I think all we have is our story and all we have is our perspective. It did help me, though, to write some parts of the book through the eyes of my mom and what she was going through. And that really challenged me to think beyond myself.
Now that the book is out and you know, friends and family and people that you may have written about have had a chance to take a look at it, what's been their reaction to what's been said and what's been written?
Well, actually, I allowed them all to read it before it got published, just wanting them to really feel like they had a voice in the whole process. So, yeah, and that was hard, too. The editing is really hard when people feel like you haven't honored them, and so they want you to delete a whole bunch of stuff. And But again, I really wanted this to be a collaborative effort, an effort at reconciliation and showing the world that no matter what difficulties your family has gone through, with the power of Christ, you can overcome them. So, yeah, it was a humbling process for sure.
So in looking at and talking about, you know, that this is a book about people who have been starving, you know, whether it's spiritually or physically. However, what's been the reaction of people that have had a chance to read it and give you feedback on it?
It's been incredible to hear people's perspectives on the book. I have been amazed at all of the women especially who find themselves in my story. And it's not because they themselves have been anorexic or anything, but because just their core themes of, you know, just disillusionment and sorrow and grief and just questioning, you know, and longing for home and not sure where it is, even when you're in it. You know, I think we can all relate to that. And I think it's because we all have this place within us that aches for heaven, right? God put that there. And so, yeah, we can all relate to this longing for home.
Well, looking at that, I mean, some of the themes in that that you and topics you broach are specifically related to women. What's been the reaction from men who have read the book?
Well, actually, my editors were all men, so they loved it, obviously. And the men that I have talked to have definitely respected the story. I don't know that they have found themselves in the same way that women have. But I shouldn't say that about all men. The ones who, have struggled with things like, you know, depression or cutting or, you know, things like that, or have definitely resonated more, I think.
Well, just looking at our time, we need to take one final break. And when we do, we'll come back and finish our conversation with writer, guitarist, painter Emily Waringa. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Your Love Never Fails from the Roots of Worship CD by St. Albert, Alberta's John Bauer. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with author Emily Waringa. What are you hoping that people will take away from reading Atlas Girl?
It's my hope that this book just continues to catalyze healing within the church. You know, I want to see healing within families. I want to see healing within pastors and their kids and their also their parishioners. I want to see just this false layer of expectation just gotten rid of. You know, and allowing all of us just to be free with one another and honest with one another and just walking this broken journey together.
And one of the things that you've done with as part of all of this too is you've also been involved in co-writing a book about writing memoir. Give us a really quick breakdown on what that's about and where people can connect with you on that.
Yes, I wrote a book called The House That God Built. It's an e-book that is a gift whenever you order Atlas Girl. And I wrote it with the editor of Atlas Girl, or one of the editors, Mick Silva, who is a memoir teacher. And we wrote the book just to help guide people, because so many people want to write their life story, and we get so many questions about that, and just to help them understand, you know, how to write it, when to write it, and what the purpose of your story is. What is God doing through it? And I think one of the main messages of that book is the verse, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its workers build in vain." And so we have to allow God to write our stories.
So what's next on your agenda?
I have a sequel to the Atlas Girl coming out next summer called Making It Home. So.
And where can people get information about you and your works?
They can reach me at www.emilywaringa.com, so EmilyWieringa.com.
Great. Emily, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight, and thank you to my guest, Emily Waringa. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selahministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selah Ministries, email robert@selahministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at Selah13, that's Selah13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.